Well, thank you for joining Sharon Baptist Church today. We're about to get into part two, Grace from Past Guilt. And I got the chance to speak with the pastor, but I just want to let you know we are open for services on Sundays at 10:45. Our address is 2628 Shady Lane Avenue, right here in Concord, North Carolina. You can get directions on our website, Sharon Baptist Concord, or if you don't feel comfortable, we do take temperatures and give out face masks at the door if you'd like, and practice the social distancing. But if you don't feel comfortable, we live stream on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord. Well, I did get the chance to speak with the pastor, so here's Pastor James. Can you tell us what part two is going to be all about?
Certainly. Paul's talking about his past life. That's before he came to know the Lord Jesus, how he was a profaner, how he was a persecutor, lived an ungodly life, trying to stamp out actually Christianity and trying to stamp out the name of Jesus Christ from the face of the earth. And of course, he met the Lord and he came to know the Lord as his own Savior. Then he moved up to his present life, how that his life was really altogether different. Now, in this last portion, we're going to deal with what happens to a person when they received the very grace of God and the guilt of their life is gone, is taken care of. Paul says there's got to be a new pattern of life. In other words, there's got to be a change in your life. And Paul uses, again, his life as an example of the great change in his own life. He said, the Lord, through His grace, enabled me and put me into the ministry. That was the grace of God at work in Paul's life. But then he said, God, through Christ, used me first as an example or as a pattern, if you will, to help other people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And he talks about how his life would have a new behavior and a new belief. Of course you have a new belief. When you trust Jesus Christ and he applies the grace of God to your life and gives that guilt, takes it away, there's got to be a new belief. Paul lived out the rest of his life with an absolute 100% trust and belief in Jesus Christ. He always uplifted Jesus everywhere he went. And every time he had an opportunity, he took the testimony and said, let me tell you what happened to me on the road to Damascus. Let me share with you what Jesus Christ has done in my life. Let me share with you what he means to me. Not only his great belief, there's got to be a great belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he says it transfers into our lives, into our behavior. Look at Paul's life before he came to know the Lord. Then look at his life after he came to know the Lord. Look at some great Christian that you may know. Look at their life before they came to know Jesus Christ. And look at their life after that point when they came to know Jesus Christ. Their belief and their behavior was altogether 100% different. I trust that we'll be different in our belief and behavior once that grace has been applied to our life. We don't have time, as we shared in the message, we don't have time to walk around with human baggage of guilt hanging on our lives. If we've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, received Him as our Savior, then our belief is true and right, then our behavior must reflect that. There's too much to be done for the Lord Jesus in the present to be burdened down with the baggage of guilt. Paul made that very evident in his life. Ever since he came to know the Lord, it was too much to do for Jesus Christ. He never once worried about his past life. It was gone. It was forgiven. The guilt was gone. And it'd be the same truth in your life and mine. If our belief in Jesus Christ is there, then our behavior will certainly reflect that in our personal daily lives.
So not only will I act different, I will be different. I will, to my friends, I won't look the same.
Sure.
And my new goal in life would be to please God in everything I do.
Yes.
Everything would be different. That's a tough load to carry. I mean, It sounds so simple at some of these churches. I mean, you just come up and sign a card or say a prayer. Isn't it that easy?
The thing about it is, we cannot carry that load. God didn't intend for us through Christ to carry that load. We cast all our cares. As Peter writes, it says, casting all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. It's Christ through us who carries the burden. He takes the guilt away. He lives His life through us, and other people can see the evidence in our lives of what God's grace has done, and that our guilt is gone. It was laid upon Christ on the cross, and we accept that as God forgives us. Then we have a good incentive to go forward in our lives in victory in Christ Jesus.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe He could forgive you, but it says in the Bible, everybody sins, so I'm just going to, I mean, how can I stop sinning? Nobody's perfect, only Jesus. What do you say to somebody that just says that? I personally think that's just a cop-out, because they don't want to try personally, but what would you say that as a pastor?
If anyone tries within themselves to live the Christian life, he's setting himself up for failure. Nobody can live the Christian life. The Christian life is lived by Christ through us. That's the only way. If I try, or you try, or anyone tries to live up to God's standards in the flesh, we're going to fail. But in the Spirit, the Lord lives it through us. And there's where the evidence comes in, and people see the difference in our life. They wonder why. Why is he so different? Why is she so different? They're not like they used to. They don't talk like they used to talk. They don't dress like they used to dress. They don't go to places. They don't have the same friends they used to have. Why is all this true? Because Christ in you is your hope of glory, makes all the difference in your life.
And you realize that, well, God is with me all around me, right next to me right now, and he sees everything I do. And when you start to realize that, you start to realize that he's with you when you walk into the bar. He's with you when you go to that website. He's sitting right next to you when you watch what you're not supposed to. He's with you when you do those acts you're not supposed to with the person you're not supposed to do those things with.
Jesus doesn't stand over our lives with a huge spiritual club just waiting for you to make another mistake, commit another sin, do another act, live another lifestyle, and just waiting to just crush your life with guilt. He stands near us to forgive us and bring us out of that kind of lifestyle, bring us out of that sin, forgive us of that deed or that lifestyle, and to make it possible that he, through us, can bring others. Paul mentioned in the text that he would live his life so that those who would follow after him would see a pattern of Jesus Christ in his life. That's what we're supposed to be, a reflection of Jesus Christ in this world, so that people look at our lives, they don't see us. The Bible also says that the men may see your good works, but they'll glorify your Father who's in heaven. So that way God gets the glory as he lives that life through us. Grace, grace, grace for past guilt.
And so many people want to get the glory for themselves. Look what I did. Look at me. And they don't realize that it all comes down from God.
All I ever did in my life was mess it up. And Jesus fixed it.
Absolutely. I'm the same
through His grace.
Right there with you. And so you're telling me I can actually get forgiveness for the mess of a life that I've made?
Yes. As we shared just a few weeks ago in a message from 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's what it means when Jesus gives you grace for your past guilt and saves you. You become a new person.
And you do this on their own or with God?
You don't do it at all. Jesus does it through us. We can't do it on our own.
It's not a 12-step program.
It's totally trust in him.
Total trust in him.
It is.
Trust in him, and he'll get rid of those. It says the desires of your heart will change, meaning I won't want to go to those websites, and I won't want to look at those, read those books, or watch those shows, or go to those places anymore. That'll start to change in my heart, because I'll not only believe in God more, I'll fear God both.
I heard an old pastor once years ago say something like this that stuck in my memory. He said, when Jesus Christ forgives you of your sins, applies God's grace to your heart, and cleanses you, he gives you a new want to. What do you mean by a new want to? You want to live for him. You want to please him. You want to share him. You want others to see him in you. That's the want to that takes place. No, you can't produce that. Nobody can. But only Christ through us can do that.
Well, let's get right into it. Here's part two, Grace from Past Guilt by Pastor James Strick. Again, if you'd like to find out more about us, our website is SharonBaptistConcord.com. And just to catch you up, we're in Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 16.
He begins in verse 12 just by thanking God through Jesus Christ for the grace that God extended to him and the forgiveness God gave him and the mercy God had upon him. Be a good place for all of us to stop and just begin to thank Jesus, wouldn't it? For the grace he's extended to us, for the mercy he's shown upon us, compassion he's had to us, and his saving grace in our lives. Paul's thankful for his deliverance from his past, but he thanks God for the present victories which are his in and by and through Jesus Christ alone. See Paul's present life as he speaks of it. How he dwells upon the very grace of God. And in another place, Paul said one other time, he said, I am only what I am by the grace of God. And so are we. We're only what we are by the grace of God. You take the grace of God out of my life, you've got a zero left. Take it out of your life, and you're a zero. But notice how he dwells on the grace of God. Look at this grace with me. He says, first of all, this was an emancipating grace. Verse 13, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. He mentioned what he was before he met Christ. But he also mentioned, but he obtained mercy. He obtained forgiveness. He obtained grace of God. He said, I did what I did in the past because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Now, did Paul not know what he was doing? Sure he did. He knew exactly what he was doing when he was going to Damascus to arrest those Christians. He knew what he was doing, but he did it ignorantly in unbelief in Jesus Christ. In his own life, he hadn't been forgiven at that point. Well, he said, but God had mercy on me. God met me. God saved me. God gave me His grace. Jesus, in fact, did meet Paul on the road to Damascus. And He delivered Paul. He emancipated, if you will, Paul. He saved Paul. He redeemed Paul from the past life that he was living and gave him a new life. He freed him, if you will. A lot of folks just need to be free today, amen, from the past. Maybe you know you've been saved, but you're still trying to live with that old past life hanging over your life. Listen to me. When Jesus saved you, that's done. That's gone. That's forgiven. It's obliterated, if you will. Jesus said He cast it as far as the east is from the west, never to remember against you anymore. So why should we remember it against ourselves anymore when He doesn't? Paul said, it's emancipating grace that the Lord gave me. Paul never lived from the Damascus Road experience. He never lived one day in guilt or bondage of what he had done, how he had lived before he met Jesus Christ. That's good news for us. From the day you met Jesus Christ, we should never live again in the thought of that old guilty life that you once lived. It's not there anymore. We need to know something about this emancipating grace, don't we? God emancipates us initially when He saves us, but we're emancipated forever because Jesus' grace has applied. Let me ask you a question. Personally, are you saved? Do you know that you've been saved? Well, you've been delivered from your past life, whatever your past life might have been. Nothing for you to worry about. God's not going to bring some black cloud over your life and destroy you with it today. He's not going to do that. You're free. The Bible also says, if the Son shall make you free, you're free indeed. Look at Paul's life from the day he met Jesus. Would you consider him a free man? I think we all would, unanimously. Paul said this grace was an emancipating grace. But he said something else here. It was an employing grace. If you look at verse 12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Now, from the Damascus Road experience, you see, Christ could depend upon Paul, not Saul of Tarsus, but now Paul the Apostle. Now Paul would be dependable. Now Paul would be trustworthy. And Christ entrusted to him the gospel that we hold in our hands today to deliver the gospel to the then known world as far as his influence would take him. Paul said, I have been employed by Christ Jesus to proclaim the same gospel that I persecuted, that I cursed and swore and profaned against. Yes, this profaner and this persecutor has now become a preacher because God in Christ had employed him. Employed him how? By grace. Emancipated him by grace. Now he's employed him by grace. How'd that take place? How could all this in Apostle Paul's life take place? Only by one thing you can say, only by the grace of God could it take place. And you know something, beloved? It's the same in your life and mine. Any victories, any accomplishments, any wonderful things God's done through our lives has to be attributed to the grace of God and the mercy of God and compassion of God and the forgiveness of God in your life and mine. See, it's emancipating grace, but Paul says it's employing grace. Paul, from the Damascus Road experience until he met Jesus face to face in heaven, Paul said, there's just too much to do for Jesus. I don't have time to wallow in guilt of my past life, of what I might have done, how I might have lived, what might have taken place. It's too much to do for Jesus in the present. Couldn't we all say amen to that? Amen. Too much to do for Jesus today to worry about what happened yesterday even, or 10 years ago, or 20 years ago. Doesn't matter. God's grace is sufficient. It's emancipating grace. It's enabling grace. It's employing grace. But then he did say in verse 12, it is enabling grace. He said that he enabled me. Christ enabled him. Paul couldn't have enabled himself. I nor you, none of us could enable ourselves to do the wonderful things God wants to do in our lives. You see, God had a work for Paul to do. God had a plan for Paul's life. And God has a work for you to do and for me to do. God has a plan for our lives. So he has to emancipate us and employ us, and then he enables us. Here he's speaking to a young minister, Timothy, who's just full of fear and questionings because he's about to go into a pastorate in Ephesus where there's some real mature, old, hard-hearted people to deal with, and he wasn't quite sure he was up to speed to deal with those situations, and Paul has to remind him that the grace of God enables you. It enables Paul to do all the things Paul had to do. And when Timothy came along and went to be the pastor of Ephesus, God's grace enabled him to do all that he had planned for Timothy to do. And listen to me. The Lord Jesus' grace is just as sufficient today for you, for me, for any of us, all of us. He will enable you to do whatever it is that God has called you to do. In God's plan, grace emancipates. Grace employs. And grace enables. You've got to accept this. You've got to believe this. But he said, God's grace was not just emancipating, employing, enabling. He said, God's grace was exceeding. Look at that in verse number 14 and 15. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul said God's grace was exceeding. How can you explain God's grace any more than saying it's amazing? It's abundant. God's grace is exceeding, as he says right here. Listen, it must have been exceeding to save a man like Paul. And you look at your life as I look at my life, and God's grace must have been exceeding to save a wretch like me, as the old song says. We'd all have to agree to that, wouldn't we? Must be abundant to save a Paul. Because Paul said, listen, I classify myself as the chief of all sinners. I'm in the head of the line. I'm the worst sinner that there ever was, and God's grace saved me. Exceeding grace, you see, didn't allow any time for Paul to wallow in his past life. Listen, beloved, to me carefully. You don't have time to dwell 1 minute on your past life. You don't. It's gone. It's done. Too much to do for Christ today and tomorrow if time exists. God's grace is exceeding abundantly. In another place it writes, and Paul says his grace is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Don't you see it in Paul's life? Don't you think it could happen in your life as well as Paul's? It does, and it can. Well, I'm no more sinful than Paul, but I was just as sinful in my own right. You were no more sinful than Paul, but you're just as sinful as Paul was in your own right. Because every single one of us was lost, alienated from God, apart from the fellowship and the very intimacy with God through Christ Jesus until we came to meet Jesus as Paul did. Not on a road to Damascus, but on your road of life and my road of life. So Paul says in the present, God's grace has been abundant, exceeding in my life. It emancipated me. It employed me. and it enabled me, and it's exceeding in my life. But Paul's not quite through yet. He talks not just about his past and Paul's present, but Paul talks about his pattern of life. I want you to look at verse 16 very carefully. He says, "Howbeit for this cause." What cause? The cause of Christ. The cause to which he was called to. "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." The grace in Paul's life was for a reason. Listen to me carefully, beloved. The grace of God in your life and in my life is for a reason. It's not by providence alone. It is by providence, but not alone. It's not potluck. It's not chance. It's for a reason. God saved you for a reason. God saved Paul for a reason. He saved all of us who are saved for a reason. God had something to accomplish in the life of the Apostle Paul. And the reason you're still here today is because God has something to accomplish in your life. Or when he gets through with that, he'll take you home. Old fellow one time talking about farming said, "If you'll just go ahead and hoe out your own row, God will take you home." A lot of truth in that old statement. But there's a reason, he says, Paul says, there's a pattern in my life. God had a spiritual pattern for Paul, and God has a spiritual pattern for your life and for mine. Now, do you have time to live in guilt? No. You have time to live in the past? No. You have time to worry about former things? No, they're passed away. If you've been saved, they're passed away. Listen, if you're living in guilt today of a past life, about anything, you're living the wrong pattern of life. I can assure you of that. Well, then what is the right pattern, Pastor? What's Paul talking about here when he talks about God had a pattern for him? Two things in Paul's life I want you to see that should be evident in your life and mine. The pattern, first of all, Paul says, in my life that God wanted to accomplish was a pattern of belief. He said God wanted to show in me first. Now, don't misunderstand Paul. He didn't say me only. He said, but just in me first, God wanted to show a pattern of belief in Christ Jesus. Ever since the day of Damascus Road experience, Paul's belief was the strongest belief you could ever have in Christ Jesus. Paul was a pattern to the first century Christians and all that he did and how he lived. Paul's life is a pattern to us today in our belief in Christ Jesus. You can't just have a casual belief in Jesus Christ. It's got to consume you. It's got to be your all number one in your life, your belief in Jesus Christ. You've got to be willing to stand up if you need me and take a bullet for your belief in Jesus Christ. Could you do that? I hope I can. I think I can. But I haven't faced that yet. Had a couple death threats over the years, but I'm still here. Paul said, God wanted to show in me a pattern of true belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you live in guilt of your past life, you're living in a pattern of unbelief. You don't believe God can forgive you and cleanse you and take care of all those matters like he said he could. If you're living in guilt of a former past life. Well, again, I say God didn't forgive you when he saved you of all your sins but one, or that one, or that one, or that deed, or that act. He forgave you for it all. And Paul said, I wanted to be a pattern to all those who would follow after me of their belief in Jesus Christ. We must be, beloved, that pattern to all those who will be coming behind us. All of us, most of us, are middle to age, maybe seniors. But there are going to be some grandchildren to come along. There are going to be some great-grandchildren to come along. There are going to be some youngsters to come in behind us. What are they going to look at our lives and see how we believe, what we believe, and how then we conducted our lives? We've got to leave them something worth living for. Amen? Amen. Paul said, God had a pattern in me of our belief to pass on. But notice something else he said. Part of God's pattern in my life was not just belief, it was my behavior. Oh, there's where it gets real personal, doesn't it? He mentioned God's long suffering. We are supposed to experience that and then exhibit that toward others. How short-tempered many times we are. How short-suffering we might be many times. But the very behavior of our lives should be like the Apostle Paul, one of long suffering. He mentioned that his love for Christ from Damascus till his death proved his long suffering. Proved his behavior from that experience till he died was never unquestioned, was it, of where he stood in his belief and in his behavior concerning Jesus Christ. Till he died, his behavior was an example to them. His behavior is an example to us today. And listen, if you go back and review the life of the Apostle Paul, you're going to see he had many bad experiences to face in his life. He was beaten of the Jews. He was stoned and left for dead. He was shipwrecked, bitten by a venomous viper that should have killed him. All kinds of horrible things happened in Paul's life. But did any of those things, or all of those things, did any of them change his belief in Jesus Christ? No. Did it change his behavior toward what God had called him to do? Not so ever. Not one time. And he says, God, you see, wanted to use me, a reason, a pattern of my belief in Jesus Christ to be strong, never wavering, and my behavior should always be to exemplify Christ Jesus in my life. No guilt for Paul. None whatsoever. Too much to be done for Jesus Christ for him to live in a guilty life. He had to live out the trials, problems in God's pattern for his life. But all through all these things, he had a pattern for others to follow. Here's where I want to close. Listen. You and I are all living a pattern of life. In our belief and in our behavior. Either the right pattern or the wrong pattern. I'm just going to ask us this, each and every one of us. Look in your life. What kind of pattern of life are we living today? Is it the good pattern of belief and behavior? Or is it the wrong pattern of unbelief? Well, I'll say this. The grace of God that was sufficient for Paul, the greatest apostle, greatest evangelist other than Jesus. The grace of God was sufficient to transform Paul's life from Damascus to glory. No wavering, no unbelief. How about our lives? What's our pattern of life been since Jesus saved us? What are you living today? How are you living today? Don't have time. Past guilt. Let's pray. And Lord Jesus, I pray for those who may be viewing us today as well. If there's those that may have that guilty complex in their life of worry and dread and fear and defeat and depression over the past life, let them know that it's forgivable in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Paul found it to be true. I found it to be true. And all of us can find it to be true today. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, He's the answer to the guilt in our life. He's the answer and only answer to our sins. He's the only answer for life's problems today. And so I ask in Your blessed name, Lord Jesus, Your work in our hearts to Your honor and glory and praise, and those who may be viewing, or those who shall listen in days to come. Help us to be the good example as Paul was. Because you see, we're the ones who followed after Paul. Lord Jesus, what an example He left for us. Help us then, Lord, to live that good example in our lives, that when those follow us, they will see men and women who had the right kind of belief and the right kind of behavior. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you today.
Well, thank you for joining Sharon Baptist Church. That was Pastor James Strickland preaching part two of Grace from Past Guilt. We hope you enjoyed the message and learned a lot. If you'd like to find out more about us, visit our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. We also live stream our services Sunday mornings at 10:45 on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord. And we're open for Sunday morning services. So if you'd like to join us, you can get directions right on our website. Again, that's SharonBaptistConcord.com. Thanks for listening. God bless you.